Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Mushroom at the End of the World on the Possibility of Life in Capitalist Ruins is a 2015 anthropology book by Anna Lowenhaupt Singh that uses the Matsutake mushroom as a lens for studying capitalism, ecology, and survival in damaged landscapes, rather than offering a conventional ecological history or a simple critique of markets. The book follows a global commodity chain that links forests in the Pacific Northwest and beyond with collectors, traders, migrants, and consumers in Japan. Singh is interested in what becomes possible when environments have been disrupted by logging, war, and industrial development, and how human and non-human lives continue to organize themselves in those ruins. The book is distinctive for its interdisciplinary method, combining fieldwork, theory, and a deliberately fragmented form that mirrors the patchy, contingent worlds it describes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Matsutake as a case study in life after environmental damage. Singh chooses the Matsutake mushroom because it grows in forests disturbed by logging and other forms of ecological disruption, which makes it an unusually strong example for thinking about life in ruined landscapes. The mushroom is not presented as a symbol of pure resilience in an abstract sense. Instead, it shows that some forms of flourishing depend on disturbed conditions and on ecological relations that humans do not fully control. That choice shifts the book away from ideas of nature as either pristine or irreversibly dead. It argues that landscapes altered by capitalism can still sustain complex forms of life, but only through precarious and uneven processes. This matters because it challenges familiar assumptions that damage simply leads to decline. Singh shows that after destruction, organisms, forests, and people may still create workable arrangements, although these arrangements are unstable and temporary. The Matsutake, therefore, becomes a concrete way to study how ecological recovery, adaptation, and value emerge together in the same damaged world. Secondly, Capitalist Ruins and the Uneven Worlds Created by Extraction. One of the book's central contributions is its concept of capitalist ruins, meaning landscapes and social worlds shaped by extraction, displacement, and broken promises of progress. Singh is not describing capitalism only as an economic system. She treats it as a force that reorganizes ecologies, labor, and mobility while leaving behind fragmented environments. The book follows the aftereffects of logging, industrial forestry, war, and global trade to show how ruin is not an exception to capitalism, but one of its ordinary products. At the same time, these ruins are not empty. They are inhabited by people and organisms who make lives within conditions they did not choose. This creates a key tension in the book. Destruction can support new forms of value and cooperation, yet those forms emerge under inequality and precarity. The analysis is powerful because it refuses both optimism and collapse narratives. Instead, it examines how capitalist systems depend on damaged ecologies and how those ecologies continue to support life in partial, uneven, and often improvised ways. Thirdly, Assemblage as a Method for Understanding Contingent Social Worlds. The book is widely associated with the concept of assemblage, which Singh uses to describe contingent gatherings of human and non-human elements that temporarily come together without being fully coordinated or controlled by a single system. This idea helps her explain how forests, fungi, workers, markets, and cultural practices interact without reducing them to one cause. Assemblage is important because it resists neat explanations based on linear development or total structure. Instead of assuming that history moves toward a fixed destination, Singh focuses on how diverse actors fit together only partially and for limited periods. That allows her to analyze Matsutake commerce as a web of specific relationships rather than as a smooth global market. The concept also has a practical analytical payoff. It makes scholars pay attention to timing, proximity, labor, and accidental coordination. In the book, assemblage is not just theory for its own sake. It is a way of seeing how fragile collaborations form across difference, and how those collaborations can be essential for survival, even when they do not produce stability. Fourthly, Patchiness, Lifeways, and the Study of Precarious Coexistence. Singh repeatedly returns to patchiness, a term she uses to describe landscapes and livelihoods made up of uneven, shifting patches rather than uniform systems. This idea is central to the book's ecological and social analysis because it captures how different rhythms of life coexist without merging into one coherent whole. Patchiness helps explain why the Matsutake world cannot be understood through a single scale, whether local, national, or global. Forest conditions, foraging practices, market demand, migration, and historical trauma all operate on different temporal and spatial logics. The related idea of lifeways emphasizes that living beings are entangled with one another through forms of coordination that are often unplanned. In practice, this means the book pays close attention to coexistence under precarious conditions, where survival depends on partial alignments among species and people. The value of this framework is that it captures complexity without forcing it into harmony. It shows that the world is not organized by a single master pattern, but by overlapping, fragile arrangements that can never be fully predicted or permanently secured. Lastly, a hybrid scholarly form that makes its argument through structure. The mushroom at the end of the world stands out not only for its subject, but also for its form. Singh does not write a standard academic monograph with a tightly linear argument and a single conclusion. Instead, she uses field observations, short interludes, fragments, and reflective passages to create a book that moves between ethnography, ecological analysis, and theoretical reflection. That structure is not decorative. It is part of the argument. By refusing a smooth narrative, the book mirrors the fragmented and contingent worlds it studies. This form also changes how readers engage with the text, asking them to notice connections across scales, rather than follow a simple thesis to closure. The result is a book that can be challenging for readers expecting a straightforward academic study. But that challenge is intentional. It reinforces the central insight that life in capitalist ruins is assembled from partial connections and unstable relations. The book therefore succeeds as both a scholarly intervention and a methodological experiment, showing that content and form can work together to express the same worldview. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers interested in anthropology, environmental humanities, ecology, political economy, and the Anthropocene. It will also reward anyone who wants to understand why damaged environments cannot be treated as simple symbols of decline. Its main benefit is conceptual. It gives readers tools such as assemblage, patchiness, and capitalist ruins for thinking about interdependence, contingency, and survival in a world shaped by extraction and disruption. It is especially useful for scholars and general readers who want a book that crosses boundaries between social theory and environmental observation without reducing either one to slogans. What makes it stand out from many books in its category is its refusal to offer a neat moral lesson or a single explanatory model. Instead, it tracks a real commodity and a real ecology to show how value, labor, and non-human life are entangled in unstable ways. That combination of rigorous fieldwork, theoretical originality, and unusual literary structure gives the book lasting influence and makes it more exploratory than diagnostic. If you would like to support Anna Lowenhaupt Singh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.